Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. So just about now, you're probably getting over that stuffed belly brought on by all the holiday eating. Your refrigerator's turkey and stuffing rations are all but gone. But the bad news is, it's only half over. We still have a few big eats left: Hanukkah, Christmas, the Kwanzaa feast, and of course, New Year's. I wish you all plenty of antacids in the coming weeks. This week, I have a few things for you guys. Once in a while, I get these little pamphlet readings from my lodge called the Short Talk Bulletin, which has some short writings in them. The first thing I'd like to read for you is a piece out of the latest entitled Light in a World Gone Dark, Reflections on the Feast of Hanukkah. Light in a World Gone Dark, Reflections on the Feast of Hanukkah. Our traditions as Freemasons center on the building of King Solomon's Temple and the role Hiram Abiff had in building the temple. History tells us three temples dedicated to the great architect stood on the holy mountain in Jerusalem: King Solomon's Temple, which the Babylonians destroyed 587 years before the common era of Jews and Christians, the temple built during the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and King Herod's Temple, where Jesus was dedicated and where he worshipped. The second temple suffered indignity when the Gentiles desecrated it during the reign of Antiochus. The Jewish people rose up under the leadership of Judas Maccabeus to rebel against their rulers. The people tore down the old altar and rebuilt it, cleansed the temple, and lit the temple lamps. The fourth book of Maccabees, a book not included in many Bibles, tells the following history of a small miracle during the rededication of the temple. They also rebuilt the sanctuary and the interior of the temple, and consecrated the courts. They made new holy vessels and brought the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table into the temple. Then they offered incense on the altar and lit the lamps and the lampstand, and these gave light in the temple. They placed the bread on the table and hung up the curtains. Thus they furnished all the work they had undertaken. Early in the morning, on the 25th day of the ninth month, which is the month of Chislev, in the 148th year, they rose and offered sacrifice as the law directs on the new altar burnt offerings that they had built. At the very season and on the very day that the Gentiles had profaned it, it was dedicated with songs and harps and lutes and cymbals. All the people fell on their faces and worshipped and blessed heaven who had prospered them. So they celebrated the dedication of the altar for 8 days, and joyful offered burnt offerings. They offered a sacrifice of well-being and a thanksgiving offering. Maccabees 4:48-56. Tradition says the people found only enough oil in the temple to keep the lamps lit for 1 day. Deity's power of providence kept the lamps burning for all 8 days of the festival. Hanukkah, the festival of lights, began with the rededication of the temple. The holiday has reminded people of God's covenant that has power to maintain light in a dark world. Think back to your first entry into a lodge of free and accepted Masons. You stood in the darkness of a hoodwink and subdued light in the room. The master of the lodge brought you to light to see the three great lights of our craft, the Holy Bible, square, and compasses. God's message shines through these lessons contained in and by all three precious lights of our craft. From that time on, it has been our responsibility and our privilege to let deity light shine within our lives, our actions, and our souls. No matter how little oil we feel we have within us to keep our light shining, the great architect provides us today as provided in the temple during the days of its darkest moment. As you know, Masonry knows no particular religion, which is why I will always read Masonic papers regardless of their religious content. The next thing I have for you is from Volume 1, Issue 4 of Hiram's Words, a York Rite magazine in Illinois. Preserving Our Masonic Heritage by Hugh Cole. Each chapter acquires memorabilia. It collects in closets, files, and in rooms. Some may be displayed in cases, on shelves, or hung on walls. There may be memorabilia in locations other than at the meeting place. It ought to be inventoried and evaluated for insurance coverage. Compile the chapter's inventory, including artifacts, paraphernalia, furniture, portraits, books, and records. On the inventory list, describe the items, enter the quantity, indicate their location, and make note of their condition. refer to the ritual books to properly name or describe paraphernalia, make a notation of items located elsewhere than on the premises. You should consult professionals before attempting to repair or recondition artifacts, especially old books and records, portraits, furniture, and paraphernalia. Require the wearing of 100% cotton archival gloves by those handling those artifacts, old documents, and portraits. Make notations for needed restoration, preservation, and consider security and insurance coverages. Fox River Chapter Number 14 at Geneva has begun this process. The following is an example of what we have discovered when we began cataloging the artifacts of our chapter. Fox River Chapter began at St. Charles in 1852. That was a 10-mile buggy ride for companions living in Batavia. Moving the chapter to Geneva was convenient for companions living in Batavia, Geneva, and St. Charles. In 1854, the companions helped form Geneva Lodge No. 139 according to its engraved base, C.H. Fates, made on an aluminum keystone marked No. 1, presumably for Nathaniel Bowditch, most excellent Grand High Priest for the Grand Chapter of Illinois in 1899. Bowditch was an employee of the Mosler Safe Company. We presume Fates was also a companion and skilled craftsman with Mosler Safe Company. Yes, research is needed. The face bears the usual capitular circle of lettering and may have had a delta. Other sides and the top bear Masonic emblems and working tools. Each penny is of the Indian head design. The three unusual capitular gavels depicted within the keystone may date from 1852 and may have been made by a local capitular craftsman. The different sizes may indicate that they were intended for use by the EHP King and Scribe. Inventory the artifacts of your chapter and then send pictures of history for possible inclusion in Hiram's words. Dave Miley is also beginning to work on an online museum for the Grand Chapter website, the Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the State of Illinois. P.O. Box 227, Washington, Illinois 61571. This next piece comes from the Illinois Knight Templar pamphlet that I receive monthly from the Knight Templar home here in Illinois. It's entitled, What is Masonry's Purpose? What I find interesting is something that it mentions that other descriptions of Freemasonry lack in the description. What is Freemasonry's purpose? Basically, Masonry tries to build a better world by making better men out of good men, by strengthening their character, improving their moral and spiritual outlook, and broadening their mental horizons. Masonry seeks to instill the principle of personal responsibility and righteousness, an understanding of Freemasonry and its benefits, and feeling for its values, the way to put these lessons into practice in daily life. And in short, Freemasonry believes in universal peace made possible by teaching its doctrine through the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. But without diving too deep into this, the part of that I was referring to is the last line in the first paragraph. Broadening their mental horizons. We'll focus more on that next week. This week's famous Freemason is responsible for the invention of penicillin. Sir Alexander Fleming, born August 6, 1881, died March 11, 1955. Scottish biologist Alexander Fleming discovered the antibiotic properties of penicillin in 1928, receiving the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1945, just 10 years before he passed away. He was initiated in 1909 at Sancta Maria Lodge, 2682 in London. He was also a member of the Misericordi Lodge No. 3286 in London and was passed Junior Grand Warden in 1942. Alexander Fleming was born near Darvel in Ayrshire and at the age of 13 was sent to London to live with his brother Thomas. In 1901, aged 20, he decided to enter the medical profession, but before being accepted by the St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, Fleming had to sit in on an entrance exam. His Scottish education held him in great stead, for he was acknowledged as the top entrant that year. Upon graduating, he joined the bacteriological department of that same hospital where he was to remain for the rest of his days. In 1928, he unearthed something that would change the world. He discovered penicillin. Penicillin therapy is probably the greatest single advance in medical history, and most likely, there probably isn't a person in the world who is not in Alexander Fleming's debt. Alexander Fleming joined Freemasonry in 1909, being initiated into Santa Maria Lodge No. 2682 in London, becoming the master in 1924. He was installed as Master of Lodge Misericordia, No. 3286, London, in 1935, elected Senior Grand Warden in 1948 of the UGLE, and Grand Warden in 1948. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WhenceCameU. Add us to your circle on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com and download the Android or iPhone apps so you don't have to sync anymore by visiting the website at www.wcypodcast.blogspot.com. Until next week, stay jolly. For WhenceCameU, I'm Robert Johnson.
On a cool summer night, buddy, you don't got to hurry, take your time. What you need is on the menu, and you get it tonight, buddy, you got women's on your mind. Could this be magic, or could this be love? Could this turn tragic? You know that magic often does. I see
lonely ships upon the water.
Better save the women and children first.
Sail away with someone's daughter.